Hey guys, welcome to Track Records CIO Week Ahead. Today we have with us V, the CIO and founder of Track Record. How are you, V?
Hi, Yirong. Let's talk about what happened last week, and then we can talk also about what we should be looking forward to for the coming week.
So for last week, we had the US CPI, the inflation number, and we also had some central bank meeting as well.
Let's talk about the US CPI, the Consumer Price Index. That was the data point of the week. That was the most important data point for the week. Markets was expecting a year-on-year change in prices of 8.8%, showing a rise of 8.8%. That's a high pace of inflation, but it was an upside surprise. It was 9.1% year-on-year. And the core component of the index, which excludes food and energy, rose 5.9% year-on-year versus 5.7 expected. I guess the best description is from Federal Reserve official Master, said that it's uniformly bad. It was uniformly bad. It should have a big, it should have made a big dent on investor confidence and risk sentiment. But in fact, the markets have made back all the losses from that day, and it ramped up short-term expectations of the Fed's policy meeting this month, for expectations of their rate hikes to be rose to 90 basis points, which is more than 90 basis points at one stage, which is saying that there's more than a 50% chance of a hike of 100 basis points, 1% hike, and a guaranteed 75 basis points hike. Since then, though, the markets have come back off, push back on these expectations. Now, they are just slightly above a 75, but probability for a 75 basis points hike is still 100%, but it's maybe at best 20% chance of a hike of 100 basis points. But importantly, Fed officials Bullard and Waller, both voters, well, they are hawks, express support for a 75 basis points hike in the July meeting. So I think that's why the market expectations have come off quite a bit on that. On the central bank meetings, you noted it's New Zealand and Bank of Canada last week. New Zealand hike 0.5% as expected. Market response was muted because it was pretty much expected. Bank of Canada hike interest rates by whopping 1% as opposed to expectations of 75 basis points, a 0.75%. Dollar CAD strengthened on the news, but the Canadian dollar strengthened on the news, but has since also come back to pretty much where it was before the meeting. So I think the markets are getting used to hawkish central banks for now. And I think the reaction function for central bank hawkishness will be muter and tamer going forward, unless it's a big surprise on the upside. Not only US consumer price index was a surprise to the upside, but the producer price index was also a surprise to the upside. It shows that prices increased by 11.3% year-on-year versus 10.9% expected. So I think that's also taken in its stride these days. The markets are pretty much used to that. Australian labor statistics show that the labor market is very strong. Unemployment rate was 3.5% only, as opposed to a 3.8% expected by the markets. And quite a huge surprise on the upside, 88,400 jobs added versus 30,000 jobs added. But that's pretty much that fits the narrative of current days, where the RBA will have to hike to continue to hold our inflation expectations and inflation. Another interesting thing was that the Chinese GDP for the second quarter was just a growth of 0.4% a year on year. And that's a big miss. I think the market's analyst forecast was for at least a 1%. And this is undershooting even lowered expectations. And it'll make the government target of 5.5% growth for the year hard to meet. So that'll mean that the Chinese government will need to ramp up their growth boosting policies, right? And one other thing to note that is quite important is that COVID cases are on the rise in various countries. China continues to struggle with it. Macau extended city lockdown, casino closures until July 22nd. Shanghai is enforcing new testing, and also some parts of China continue to extend their lockdowns. And now we also have India warning of more cases, Japan warning of a surge, Tokyo raising its alert, New Zealand's announcing free masks and tests as cases start to rise again. South Korea is also warning of a surge. So I think all this is indicative of the fact that it is not yet over. There's always a risk that cases would surge with new strains, but we are still quite lucky that new strains, although they are spreading fast, they are not more virulent, they are not causing a deadlier or worse symptoms than before. So that's a good thing. One other note about Eurozone, Italy is having a political crisis. The Prime Minister Draghi tendered his resignation, but the president rejected the resignation, but the drama drags on. Likely that he will get kicked out at some point and new elections will need to be conducted, but we still case of high uncertainty. And for this week, Irong, what's on the pipeline for this week?
Right. So for this week, we have the RBA meeting minutes. Then we also have some central bank meetings from the BOJ and also the ECB.
Okay. RBA minutes, things to look out for is whether they talk about the discussion of a larger, bigger magnitude of rate hike than what they did. We'll see if that was in the realm, it was in the discussion. But other than that, it's expected to have a hawkish comments anyway, because they're talking about continuation of rate hikes going forward. So shouldn't have much market moving news. They did hike 50 basis points last month, and so we will see if they talk about more. For the central bank meetings you're talking about, the Bank of Japan meets on Thursday. There's a risk that they may adjust their policy. The market's always thinking that they should, but it's very unlikely that they will. They are committed to buying a limited amount of bonds to keep the 10-year yield at the level that they want and to keep it low, to keep easing. Although the yen is weakening, I think they are not going to be so much worried about it. The European Central Bank also meets on Thursday, and it's likely to be the first rate hike this cycle. They are likely to do a 0.25%. But what will be interesting is their details on their new tool to prevent fragmentation, meaning that to keep the difference in bond yields of weaker nations such as Italy and Portugal and stronger nations such as Germany, keep the bond yields stable and not allow it to widen too much, which tends to happen in a rising rate cycle. The weaker bonds will suffer more than the stronger nation bonds. So that should be interesting. We also will have some inflation data from Europe this week on Tuesday, but that's unlikely to change the fact that inflation is high and the ECB needs to respond. We're going to see inflation data from the UK and Canada on Wednesday as well, but it's going to likely to fit to the current narrative of high inflation in the developed economies for some time yet. I guess that's it for the week ahead. On the macro front, interesting, as we made note of in some of our daily commentaries last week, post that US CPI data, which was a shocker to the upside, that although typically such a big surprise to the upside would have made the market sell off risk assets aggressively, the markets did try, but on the day itself, it recouped a lot of recouped most of the losses. And since then, it has continued to trade higher. And I think that's a positive sign. It could be that liquidation by investors are over and short-term speculative traders are likely to be short of the market now after the number. And if there's no bad news for the markets, it's likely to creep higher and squeeze these guys for change. That's the characteristic of bear markets, right? When things become very obvious that it should go down to the downside, it tends to squeeze the people who come late to the party. So we are kind of seeing that right now. Cryptos are trading stronger. Ether is trading above 1,400. Bitcoin above 21,000. NASDAQ is also trading quite positively. Actually, Bitcoin is trading above 22,000. Ether is almost at 1,500 now. So we are seeing a lot of short covering after long periods of bearish news and bearish price action. So we could be in a phase of the retracements. So got to keep an eye on this, keep positioning it to the size that commensurate with the capital that you have, and not to overcommit or over leverage as volatility remains high. As always, stay true to the process and eventually you'll be profitable. Thanks.